In our worship, we want to look at John 17:17. John 17:17. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the privilege to be together this morning. We thank you for your word. As we hold it in our hands and as we open its pages, focus our attention on John 17:17. We ask that you would prepare our hearts to receive it. Be with me as I deliver the message this morning. May you guard it. May you put restrictions on it so that everything said will be true. Everything said would be helpful. Everything said would be glorifying to you. And that you would cause your word to go forth in power. And you would open dull ears to hear and minds that are closed to be opened and hearts to open and receive your word, and that you would be glorified and we would be spiritually helped by being not only under your word but in the presence of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for what you'll do. And we glorify you in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake. Amen. John 17:17, one verse this morning. Jesus prays to the Father that he would sanctify them, them being his disciples. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And those are the words of Christ, binding on all of us who are his people. And all God's people said, amen. The Bible urges all of us as believers to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now that command is binding on each and every one of us as God's people. We are to always be ready, always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who may ask us for the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So I think we are to be prepared to not only communicate what we believe, but also why we believe it. And I'm afraid there are a lot of people in churches today across America who know what they believe, but they have no idea why they believe it. And I pray that part of your hope is that God has saved you and that God will keep you for all eternity. And if that is your hope, that God has saved you and that he keeps you and that he's coming back to receive you to himself, you need to be able to intellectually and biblically articulate why you believe that. So if somebody came up to you and said, well, why do you believe that God keeps you? What evidence do you have that God keeps you? How does God keep you? That you just don't answer, well, the Bible says so. You need to believe what you believe, and you need to support what you believe biblically. So that's what we have been looking at the last couple of weeks, looking at the prayer of Christ in John 17, where he prays that the Father would keep all those given to him, and then prays four ways in which the Father is to keep us. The keeping of God's people is first in what God supplies for us. God supplies for us the gift of the joy of Christ, the joy that overcomes all things, is uninfluenced by all the circumstances that we encounter so that we can have joy in the worst of times. No matter how hard life is, no matter how difficult life gets, God's people are kept by being given the joy internally of Christ. And then we are given the revelation of the grace of God's word so that we may continually read and learn who God is and better appreciate who God is. And then finally, we are given the guarantee that we are not of this world through the world's hatred and persecution of those who are not like them. And then last week we noticed the second way that God keeps his people is by securing them. They are secured in the world by being present in the world, not taken out of the world, because our remaining in the world is for the good of the world, for our good, and for the glorification of God the Father. Plus, we are secured in the world by being protected from the evil of the world and the evil one himself. So there is supply and there is securement. Today we want to look at the third way that God keeps us, and that is by the sanctification of us by his word. Now I want to remind you this morning, in case we maybe have gotten off course, the goal and the aim of God in saving us, if we are saved, is for our holiness. Say amen. The reason God has saved us, or the reason God has done anything for his people in the past, in the present, and in the future, is aimed at creating a holy, set-apart, sanctified people. We are saved to be holy. We're saved to be sanctified. And if you miss that important truth, you miss it all. God is not aiming at creating a happy people. Say amen. God is not aimed at creating a comfortable people. God is aimed at creating a holy people. And our holiness is the very reason why he has redeemed us. It's why he has died in our place on the cross. It's why he received our wrath. It's why he works in us and through us. It is for our holiness. The Apostle Paul probably said it best in Ephesians 1, 3, and 4 when he said this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." That is the end that God had in view before he ever created anything or anyone. Before there was the creation of Adam and Eve, God's aim, God's end was that his people would be a holy people. Before he spoke anything into existence, God determined to create for himself and redeem for himself a people for his own possession and for the glory of his name, in a people that would be holy. Listen to Jude. Jude writes this in verse 24. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." So everyone who is in Jesus Christ will stand before the presence of God Almighty faultless, to the glory and to the joy of Jesus Christ. So our holiness, our Christ-likeness, is the sum of all that God has done for us. It is the sum of all that God continues to do for us, and it is the sum of what God is doing for us right now. We are saved by God and made holy. And the work of making us holy is the work of sanctification. So the prayer of Christ is, Father, keep them by making them holy. And while we are being kept in the world, right? Your days are not in your hands. You are being kept in the world. While you're being kept from the world, at the same time, we are being sanctified by the truth. So this morning, I want us to look here at three things. The interpretation of sanctification, or what does sanctification mean? The importance of sanctification, why sanctification is necessary, and then the involvement of sanctification, how does it happen? So let's begin with the interpretation of sanctification. Sanctify them. The word sanctify here means to be set apart. That is what holiness means. To be set apart for a special use. So there were things in the Old Testament that were sanctified. There were sanctified utensils in the temple. There was things that were taken from common use and specified for special use and only used for special use. So if you think that sanctification is only about ridding yourself of sin and evil, then you're going to have a real problem when Jesus says, and Jesus is without sin, right? Jesus says that he sanctifies himself. And God does not grow in holiness and he does not grow in perfection, right? Christ doesn't. You remember in the Old Testament, God told Moses to take off his shoes because the ground he was walking on was holy ground. Now, I want you to know that there was nothing different about that dirt that he was standing on than any other dirt that was around him. If you did an analysis of that dirt, it was dirt. No different than any other dirt. But what made it holy dirt was that it was the place that was set apart for Jesus to speak to Moses through the burning bush. That set apartness, that special use of that particular part of the dirt, that's what made it holy ground. That's the way Jesus speaks of sanctifying himself. He set apart to do a special work. But the word not only can mean to be set apart for a special use, but also it can mean to grow in holiness, morality, and it means to progressively become like Christ. And in understanding sanctification, there are three tenses of it. There is a past tense of sanctification, where it is correct to say, I have been past tense sanctified. Meaning, there is a time when every true believer has been set apart by a special calling of God for a special purpose. Say amen. We are set apart as God's people. We are his sheep. Say amen. There's a present tense of sanctification in which we can say that we are now being sanctified. It is true that as born-again believers, we are growing in holiness more and more, and God is doing the work in us in time, and we are growing more and more like Christ. So that today, I'm more like Christ than I was yesterday. And yesterday, I was more like Christ than I was the day before. And this work, this present work of sanctification, is never completed in this lifetime. It is this tense of sanctification, and I think Jesus Christ is praying for us here. Sanctify them presently. And there, of course, is a future tense of sanctification in which we can say we will be sanctified. In the resurrection, we will be made perfectly holy as our Lord Jesus Christ is holy. Amen. We will see him, and the Bible says we will be like him. Amen. So we have been set apart, right? Chosen by God, set apart by God as God's people in the past. We are being sanctified, made more like Christ presently, and one day in the resurrection, we will be made perfectly holy as Christ is holy. And all of those are true, but none of us are completely holy here so that we no longer sin. So sanctification is something that has happened, is happening, and will happen. We have been transformed. We are being transformed, and we will be transformed. Now, can I say something about our current, present holiness? The Bible says this, quote, "We all," who do you think the "we all" is there? Believers. "We all, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image," the Lord's image, "from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord," close quote. So what Paul is saying there to the Corinthians is that every believer is being transformed into the image of Christ from glory to glory. Say amen. And it seems to me, and he says, by the Spirit of the Lord. And it seems to me that this work of sanctification, this work of being made like Christ, growing like Christ, being transformed into the image of Christ from glory to glory, it seems to me that that work is a progressive work. From glory to glory to glory. Not to glory and then regressive and regressive and regressive and then glory. No, it's from glory to glory to glory to glory. Sanctification is a continual progression, not a regression. It seems that it is to some degree a continual moving forward from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. Say amen. And sometimes it is perceptible. Sometimes you can see that progression. Sometimes it's not perceptible. Sometimes you can't see it, but it is progressive growth. Say amen. Sometimes it's by leaps and bounds. Sometimes it's millimeter by millimeter. But that verse seems to indicate that the believers are always growing, are always moving forward, are always progressing toward that image, toward that being made in that image of Jesus Christ, so that there is no going backwards. There is, in light on not having obtained perfection, a striving after perfection that is being worked out in us. Paul said, "I have not obtained," but he's striving for that attainment. So all of us who are in Christ are being made holy. All of us probably at different levels, different degrees, but all being made holy. All being made in the likeness of Christ. All moving toward that goal. So here's my sticking point. Christ prays this prayer, correct? And either this prayer is being answered by the Father in the affirmative, in our sanctification, in our moving forward, in our growing like Christ, or it's not. And it's not being answered is evidenced by what we call backsliding. I don't think you can have both. I don't think that you can be continually being sanctified and backslide. Either we're backslidden and not being sanctified, or we're being sanctified and there's no such thing as backsliding. I believe that we're being sanctified. That is what sanctification is. It is a moving forward of God's people toward Christ. Likeness, little by little, lot by lot, but all of us moving forward toward that end, which is the answer to this prayer. Say amen. And either God can pull it off or he can't. Either we're stronger than God or God is stronger than us. So you say, well, what is backslidden? Backslidden is probably just not being saved. Say amen. Number two, the importance of sanctification. Now, before I tell you what the necessity of sanctification is, let me first tell you what the necessity, what is not necessary for sanctification. Sanctification is not necessary when it comes to us talking about justification. So let's not get that confused, because a lot of people get that confused. God has saved us without our works being considered. Say amen. He saved us despite our works, right? Even the works in our sanctified Christian lives are imperfect works, right? Because they're in sinful human beings. Only the obedience of Christ was perfect obedience. Only the life of Christ was perfect. Only his obedience and his atonement and his blood, those are the basis for our justification, correct? Good works don't save anyone. So we have to be careful about not confusing justification with sanctification, because justification is a legal declaration of our righteousness in the work of Christ. It is not being made righteous, it is being declared righteous based on the work and the merits of Jesus Christ, who came and took our place. Sanctification, on the other hand, is the working out of this declared righteousness. We're declared righteous, but over time we're becoming more righteous. Say amen. By the work of the Spirit that now indwells us. Justification is a declaration, while sanctification is the experience of the life of the believer. Justification is a one-time event, while sanctification is an ongoing process. Sanctification has nothing to do with justification. The thief on the cross was just as justified with no sanctifying work as the Apostle John was with a lifetime of sanctifying work. Say amen. You are not justified by sanctification. Justification is the same for all of us. But sanctification is different in every believer as far as the degree or the progress of sanctification. We are sanctified because we are declared justified, not for the declaration of justification. So good works are not necessary for salvation. God has done everything through his Son, Jesus Christ. So We need to keep our works out of the doctrine of justification. Only the work of Christ belongs there. And thank God that Jesus did everything necessary to save us. So what is the answer for the importance of sanctification then, if it has nothing to do with justification? Well, the simple answer is this. God wants a holy people, and we are not holy. Say amen. God wants His people to be holy, and His people, are not holy. Hate to bust your bubble, but that's the truth. So sanctification is necessary to make us holy because we're not holy. The idea of sanctification is us being kept from the evil that is within us. For us to live in this world, sanctification is essential. And one element of our being kept in this world is being sanctified from the evil that resides in every single one of us. So God prays that we be kept in this world, that we be kept from the evil of this world, and that we would be made holy in this world. So in a very real sense, the believer is not taken out of the world, but in sanctification, the world is being taken out of the believer. Say amen. That's what God does. He doesn't take us out of this world, but the process is He takes the world out of us. Sanctification is God changing our affections, changing our desires, changing our inward man, so that temptation has a hard time gaining any root in a heart where the affections and the desires are being changed. And as we grow in sanctification, sin should become less and less alluring to us. You should be different today than you were when you got saved. Sin should be becoming less and less tempting to us, although it is still tempting. The more we become like Christ, the less we should be like the world. Say amen. And the reason sanctification is necessary is because the world is unholy and needs to see holiness. Say amen. You see, we're left in the world not that we may show the world worldliness. We're left in the world so that we may show the world holiness. Say amen. We're not left in the world to be like the world. We're left in the world to be unlike the world and show them Christ. The world has plenty of unholy examples, but what the world needs are holy examples. And the world wants you to be like them, but what the world needs is you to be not like them. Say amen. The world needs you to be unlike them in holiness. Let me read you a quote from my favorite preacher, who I can't wait to meet in glory, Charles Spurgeon, who always says it better than I ever possibly can. Quote, "How shall a holy God send out unholy messengers? An unsanctified minister is an unsent minister. An unholy missionary is a pest to the tribe he visits. An unholy teacher in a school is an injury rather than a blessing to the class they conduct. Only in proportion as you are sanctified unto God can you hope for the power of the Holy Spirit to rest upon you and to work with you so as to bring others to the Savior's feet. How much may each of us have been hampered and hindered by want of holiness? God will not use unclean instruments. Nay, he will not even have his holy vessels borne by unclean hands. To the wicked, God said, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes? A whole host may be defeated because of one Achan in the camp. And this is our constant fear. Holiness is an essential qualification to a man's fitness for being used of the Lord for the extension of his kingdom. Hence our Lord's prayer for his apostles and other workers, Father, sanctify them. Close quote. Do you think that sanctification is an unnecessary thing if Jesus Christ prays it on the eve of his death? What we are going to see is that we are kept in the world to reach the world with the good news of Jesus Christ, and the way we are set apart for that task is by the sanctifying work of God in making us holy and unlike the world. Before God uses us, he sanctifies us. Say amen. So I want you to know something. God has got you in a particular place in this world on purpose. Say amen. So that each of us in this auditorium this morning reach a different people. On your job, with your friends, with your family, with the people that God crosses your life with, you are being sent to them. For what reason? To share with them Christ. To show them holiness, not unholiness. But in order to do that, God must sanctify us. Say amen. Number three. Not only the importance of sanctification, not only the interpretation of sanctification, but notice thirdly the involvement of sanctification. How does sanctification come about? How does it happen? What are the means by which God uses to bring, to sanctify us? And it is clear, is it not? Christ prays, Father, sanctify them through what? Through thy truth. So it is obedience to the truth that we are sanctified. We learn the truth, we yield to the truth. So we are sanctified in the truth, but we don't want to miss what the truth is. Because you may think that you know the truth. Or what you say is the truth, or what you think is the truth. That's not the truth. We are sanctified through the truth, and the truth is what? The Word. The Word of God. Say amen. Not a dream, not a vision, not a nudging, not goosebumps, not feelings. You're sanctified by the truth, and the Word is the truth. It's what Jesus says. And God's word doesn't just contain the truth. God's word is just not true. God's word is the truth. And the definite article, the, indicates it is specific. We are sanctified in truth, and the word of God is that truth by which we are sanctified. So, truth and the Word is synonymous with one another. The Word of God is truth. And it is the truth under the power of the Spirit of God that makes the truth effective to the end of our sanctification. In other words, we've had this discussion before. You put a man in the corner with just the Word, he's not going to be sanctified. Say amen. Put a man by himself in the corner, sanctification doesn't happen. Sanctification happens when a man has the Word and the Holy Spirit that lives inside of him applies that Word towards sanctification. It is the Word used by the Spirit of God that makes that person more holy. It's when you hear the Word preached, it's when you read the Word and you say, or the Spirit of God says in you, you're not doing that. That's not true of you. And then the Spirit of God starts making that true of you. Say amen. Through the Word, through the truth, by the work of the Spirit of God. The Word of God is the one tool given to us by God and ordained by God through the work of the Spirit for the work of sanctification. There is no other way to be sanctified than by His truth. It is God working in you in cooperation with the Word of God. There has to be both. Say amen. The truth and the Spirit of God. And we are made holy by the Spirit of God through this one means, the Word of God. It is through the Word of God that we are saved. Say amen. And it is through the Word of God that we are sanctified. Do you know why I preach the Word of God? That I don't have 24 stories, little stories to tell you every sermon. That I just simply preach the Word of God. I put a text up and we put the text up and I try to preach that Word. Do you know why I do that? Because there's no hope of salvation in any other thing than that. And there is no hope of sanctification without that. Say amen. I have not been called to be an entertainer. I have been called to preach to you the Word of God in hopes God would save you and that God would sanctify you through the truth. There is no other means of sanctification. And my goal is not that you will leave the church. And my goal is not that you won't leave the church. I hope you don't. That's not my goal. My goal is to preach the truth. So that you might be saved. So that your children might be saved. So that your grandchildren might be saved. And that you and your children and your grandchildren and your friends, your brothers and sisters of Christ, may be sanctified toward Christ's likeness. Listen. Churches and people neglect the Word of God at their own peril. You think that an unread Bible has no effect on you? It does. The more you are in the truth, the more the Spirit of God that indwells you can take that truth and sanctify you by it. You ought to be in the Word every day. You ought not miss the preaching of the Word of God. Say amen. You ought to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, if you all possibly can. It is how God sanctifies you. You need the Word to be saved. You need the Word to be sanctified. And you don't need anything else. Say amen. Do not neglect the Word of God for anything else or for any other purpose. The Holy Spirit, working through the truth, enables the believer to love God and to love others, and to love God and others more and more. Say amen. The Word is the only power that enables the Christian to lead a sanctified life. So in all of the temptation to gain a crowd by doing silly things, right? By doing silly things that would attract a crowd. The truth needs to be preached. The truth needs to be proclaimed. Because no one can be saved or sanctified without the truth. Say amen. So put yourself under the truth anytime that you can for your own sanctification. Your maturity in Christ depends on the truth. Say amen. And you should desire the truth. Say amen. You should come into this church desiring truth. And let me tell you something else. You should come into this church demanding the truth be preached from this pulpit. Do you know why I so diligently guard this pulpit? Because of you. Because I love you. And I want the truth to come from this pulpit for salvation and for sanctification. Amen. Say amen? So how are we kept? By what God supplies, by how God secures, and by the sanctification of the Spirit of God through the truth of God's Word. Amen. Say amen. So the idea of these people that say, you Baptists believe, once saved, always saved, you can live any way you want to. Absolutely, we do not. We believe once saved, you're sanctified by the power of God, made more and more like Christ. Say amen. Let's pray.